Hello and welcome to Through the Mist with me, your host, Dan. This is Avoiding the Theory podcast where we look at the law and try to understand how it all works. In this episode,
we're going to be looking at the show!
Oop, apparently I peeked out that scream. Hello everybody, hi, welcome back MythBusters to the best Voidverse lore show out there, Through the Mist, woo woo, everyone get excited, it's a new year, this is the first episode of said new year from what, I know it's February guys, but you know, this is the first time I'm speaking to you, so this is what you get. Yeah, the show's happened. Wash and it was great, wasn't it? Everyone agree? Shake hands. We all agree. Yes. We all do agree that the show was great. I've just finished rewatching the entire thing, basically to do research for this episode. And while I was doing it, I created a little reel about the beads because the beads. We need the beads. Gives us the beads. Beady boy. What am I doing? This is going to be a bit of a rambly, weird start. I just need to get back in the groove. If you want to see said reel on the Instagrams, that's through_mist on Instagram. You can find us there. Come over, join the gang. There's a nice small gaggle of us on. I mean, it's not like you can all chat to each other, but you can participate in the show if you join us over there. You can also participate just by straight up cold emailing us. At through.t.mist@gmail.com. Like, they're always available, always open. I've had an issue in the past where some DMs just don't appear for me and I don't know why. So if you have DM'd me and I've never mentioned it or replied to you, that's probably why. Try emailing. That should come through. Anywho, what does mean though, talking about the Instagrams, is that we obviously, at the end of, I posed a new question, linking back to the last episode we did on there, and the last episode was about the labyrinth, because I needed a quick and easy one, and I thought that would be a quick and easy one. And I came up with a question, and to be fair, it was a bad question on my part. I didn't do well enough, it was a dodgy question, it was a bit off question, and as such, we got no responses from said question. So I'm not even going to bother repeating it, because I don't think it was that great a question, but it will stay there and, you know, maybe one day I'll get an answer for it and we can talk about it. Who knows? If you have been binging this and you're like, oh, this is a new show. Oh, I like Owen. They seem cool. They seem fun. Yeah, I'll listen to them lose their mind occasionally and ramble about nothingness to themselves. Yeah, I'll do that. That's great. Whoop. I love it. And you're like, I've got this really cool idea about this episode that he released 3 years ago. But that's 3 years ago. Is he really? Give it to me. I want to know everything. Give me. I'm just like, I would eat it up. I will nom noms it up forever and ever and ever. Well, I say forever. I think, I don't know how many things are currently on my list of episodes to do. Some of them are a lot harder than others. Let's have a quick peek at how many things on my to-do list. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 things on my to-do list. That's over a year's worth of Owen content right there, because I do 12 episodes. I don't even do 12 episodes a year. I do like 10 episodes a year. So, you know, I've at least got a year and a bit in me, and that's just the books that are out at the moment. And we know there's at least two more coming books coming out, and hopefully, you know, 5 seasons in the movie, the show continues, because we haven't got an announcement yet for season 2, but in everyone's mind, it feels like it should be coming. Season 2 better come, otherwise, riots. Yeah? Everyone agree? We're all in agreement. We all riot and force Disney Plus to do season 2 anyway. Yes? Great. Love it. Yeah, I just, you know what? We'll get into the episode now. Yeah, we'll get into the proper, yeah.
Hello. that you always deny.
Hey, yup. My chucks. What up, my chucks? What up? Oh, what is it? From is it Bristol? Hey, yup, my lover. My lover. Right, my lover. There it is. Right, my lover. Sorry, I'm putting a log on a fire. I don't want to get too cold in here. That's right, I'm recording with a live fire. You ate me, lover? Are you me, lovers? Yeah. I haven't actually explained how this episode's going to work. So what we're going to do is we are looking at the show, because I just, as I said, just finished the recap. We have recapped the entire show. And what I've done is I've gone through and I've picked out law changes or differences or things that I think fit this show, Through the Mist. And we're just going to talk through them and we're going to have some fun. We're going to go in episodes that appear. We've actually got one for episode 3, 4, 6, 7 and 8. 8 one's a little more different, but the others are very much just like, they're just changes. They're more like law changes than anything else. If you want other opinions, there's so many podcasts out there. Personally, I would suggest who do I know that's been doing show release episodes? So Monster Donut, Return to Camp Half Blood, Camp Half Pod, and Seaweed Brain. Yeah, I would suggest one of those if you want like actual show talk and talk about the show and stuff. I'm gonna have a little talk because you know I haven't had a chance. But same anyway. Ka-ching! Right, me lover. I haven't done this in a while, and I can really tell because I don't know how to move. My flow is not flowing right. You know, the flow is not flowing. The flow is not flowing. What do monsters smell? What do monsters smell? The smelling of monsters. This first major like thing that they changed or added to, just like the main difference, like law dump wise. This is the first thing we see. We first hear about it in episode 3, where Grover's talking to Medusa. Not talking to Medusa. What am I on about? They're on the bus. Grover is talking to Percy. Annabeth's buying the sweets in the shop. You all know the scene. It's just after. Whoa. I was about to sing 2K. I was about to sing Secret Tunnel. What's the song? What's it? What's the consequence song? Where the second verse, we have our differences and... Yeah. He's 24, by the way, guys. Sorry, Robert. I am sorry. Yes, so monsters. Monsters talk. Monster talk. Grover expo dumps on us. Wow, expo dumps. It was fun expo dumping. It's lore dumping, and to be honest, I love lore, so I like it. So in the books, we just kind of get the smell. It's not really delved too deeply. It's just smell. In the show, it's not just quite smell. It's also fear or other emotions. Depending on what they are, depending on what they want. I don't know if it changes. Do you think it changes demigod taste? Do you think depending on what and like what you're feeling and like hormones are going around you, like it changes the way your meat tastes? So that like when the monsters eat you, nom 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 nom, they prefer different flavor profiles. So they prefer different emotions. That's why they go after different emotions depending on the monster, you know? I don't know. So what I've done is I went back to Haley's little short story that he wrote in, what was it, Demigod Diaries in Son of Magic, and had a quick look at what was said there, because that is actually states the origin, and it's published in a Rick Royden book, therefore it is canon. So we get this quote from, I need to double check that this is not just like them shortcutting the name. No, it is Son of Magic, Lamina, also known as Marianne Lamina. We're talking to her, and so at her stating things to Alabaster, the son of Hecate and our demigod protagonist in this book, but not our main protagonist. So we get this quote. I crafted a very special incantation, one that allowed all the monsters in the world to sense the taint of half-bloods. I gave the monsters the ability to track demigods. actually, that doesn't actually give us more information about what the incantation is, what words we use to create said incantation, so what methods they use. So this little bit of extra lore, or change to lore, depending on how you want to look at life, really, I think we can take it as additive lore. So we can take this piece of information and go, you know what? Yes, this is also true in the books. It's not, they can, oh my God, look at that red kite. Oh, hello, buddy. Are you going to dive bomb something? Oh, no. Yes, so it's additive lore. So we can take it and go, yes, this is true in the show. This is what reason we get given in the show. But also, it matches and actually elevates the stuff we know about from the books. So it adds layers to the smelling. So it defines more about what they smell and doesn't actually change the fact that they smell. So if we had, I don't know, ranking systems or something, we would say that this is additive lore and we are going to take it forward, at least on this show, and take it forward as book canon as well as show canon. Like that, the canons align. The canons are aligning the canons. Yeah. Wake up and it's still with you. Even though you left your way across town, wondering to yourself, hey, what am I found? When you get caught between the moon and New York City, I know it's crazy. Dookie dookie. So next one is from episode 4. So this is after this episode, I went, I can 100% do this as a show. And I had two options. I had 2 points at this. I went, I can do this episode now. This episode gave me, episode 4 gave me the enough groundwork to build my episode, this episode you're listening to right now, off. And all I had was demigod smell and this, which is the fact that the arch is a temple to Athena. Now, that is a change from the books, but as an idea, as a plausible thing that occurs in the world of Percy Jackson, buildings and other structures being temples to the gods makes, like, complete sense. Like demigod children, like, all the ones, like, they're famous people. They either had money or were brilliant minds. Like, they were the people that helped. They were some of the people that helped change the world for better or for worse. You know, that's just what they did. So it makes sense in the world. However, it is a change. And it, like, it gives, like, way station vibes, you know, from Trials of Apollo, from Toa. It gives, like, way station vibes of, like, that's an old station building, a place that's hidden in plain sight, hidden as a normal feature for mortal humans, but to demigods is something else, something a bit more powerful, a bit more important. And it makes sense that demigod children would do this. However, as I said, it is different than the books, because the difference between this and the books is that in the books, they go to the St. Louis Arch, someone tell me. They go there because it's Annabeth's special interest. And it's just Annabeth's special interest. That's all it is. It's not anything to do with Athena at all. Not even Athena and architecture aren't a thing. And it's one of my most annoyances. But, like, it's fine. I've got an episode to look at that. But I don't think right now, without any, like, heavy research, Athena and architecture aren't a thing. But we just move on. But Annabeth and architecture are. And that's what, in the books, is the reason they go. And it does help give Annabeth something outside the fact of being a child of Athena. It gives her another element to her character, which isn't quite there. But at the same time, I'm in the show, and you have less time to work with and all that jazz. But at the same time, it's not out of Annabeth's character to go, especially in The Lightning Thief, to go, you know what? I know this place. This is a temple to my mum. And we'll be boss there because my mum's boss. So therefore, we're going to be fine there. Don't worry about it, guys. So, like, it makes sense. And, like, and all that stuff. But then from a law perspective, how does this change the world? And I don't think it does. I don't think it changes the world. I don't think yet we have enough evidence to say it is 100% in the world of the books. But it's definitely a plausible thing to happen in the world of the books for a demigod child to build a temple somehow, whether that be throw money at it, whether that be the designer behind it, whether it be like if they're sponsoring it or however they do it, like it's fully, fully reasonable for that to happen. Who knows? Maybe that's why Olympus is on top of the Empire State Building. You know, maybe demigod children are involved in the construction of the Empire State Building and they built it to be the temple to Olympus and it shoved Olympus on top of it because that's how the world works. It's a new idea. It's a new theory to look at and have fun with. And we can have fun with it in the future. I just don't think right now we can't explicitly state that that's true. And in the books, the arch is definitely not a thing. But there's some fun things to look about it. Like, do we now go back and revisit the whole Empire State Building and the moving to New York? And why is Olympus in New York? Why is Hades in Los Angeles? And all that sort of stuff. Do we go back and revisit those and go, and maybe there's this temple vibe when they were getting built? And did, when these build, maybe they were kind of just like not really settled in place yet, or I don't know, maybe they were like, they were there, but they didn't, yeah, maybe they weren't settled, maybe they were in America, but they kept on like floating around and moving a bit like that doorway in the labyrinth does, and it just kind of goes from place to place and shows different places, but kind of always hangs it around one place. Like maybe Olympus used to jump around the tallest points in New York and Manhattan for ages, but then Empire State Building got built, and that didn't just become the tallest when it was built, because taller things now exist than it, so why aren't they up on the tallest thing now? Maybe it solidified itself, because when it got built as a temple to Olympus. Olympus, why am I saying Olympus? Olympus, 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 Olympus. Olympics. So, you know, there's fun things to have, and who knows what may happen. Right then, next on the list is episode 6. And I bet you're like, oh, Em, episode 6? What are you going to talk about in episode 6? The fact the zebra is really hard to spot and should be more prominent? No, nothing about that. It is genuinely, I think, my biggest gripe with the entire show is that you can't see the zebra easily. The episode is called We Took a Zebra. It's got zebra in the title. You're using the zebra chapter title. And the zebra is not a prominent animal in the shots. Make the zebra a prominent animal in this prominable. But switch the camel out and put a zebra there and, like, you'll be fine. But, like, why didn't you put a zebra there? Anyway, off track, we'll get on law track again. Seers, clear-sighted, Maker Stalin, Annabeth, chat. What's going on here then? Because in the books, I did an old episode on the clear-sighted. Hang on, I need to get my notes up for this because I was about to lift off people. I mean, I've got an episode. I don't have to do this from memory. Okay, so, no, it'll be higher than that. Miss Dance Law, Percy's Choice, Welcome to Rome, Hunter Martimus, Mortals! So, Seers, we got Sally, Red, May, maybe Frederick, maybe not, Randolph, question marks, Natalie Chase, the Grandmas, and Marie, maybe? Yeah, so the main ones are Sally, Red, and May. They're the main three. And I suppose out of two of those three in the book, two out of three of them can, you know, kind of see into the future, kind of. Sally, not so much. So I guess maybe it's not a change, but at the same time, it feels like a change. That the clear of sight, as I call them, apparently, did it? Mortals, seers. I did call them seers. I called them seers. Clear sight, seers, and not standard. Ugh. Bet they nicked that word from me. No, they didn't. Stop lying to yourself. I just needed a way to define the difference here. So the clear of sight versus like seers in the show, and like I think at this point, what we get, the chat we get from Annabeth, what I think actually is happening is Annabeth has never met someone who is clear of sight. In my thing, in my list, I've got Frederick Chase. He sees blackjack, and that's it. Frederick Chase is a questionable one, but like I think that Annabeth hasn't really met a proper clear-sighted person yet. So her main point of reference and her information for this is May. And this is May post flashbacks in Last Olympian. This is May post trying to become the Oracle, when the Oracle wasn't allowed to switch bodies. So you get this unreliability from Annabeth because she doesn't know enough. And I think that's what's happening lore-wise. So what we're not saying that everyone that can see through the mist also has some form of future vision. I don't think that's true, and I think that would lessen. I think that lessens the fact that Rachel is destined to become the Oracle. I think what we can say, and what quite easily they can do, is just say Annabeth at this point has no other frame of reference. It gives us, and like the reason we get it is because we're about to meet Hermes, and so we need to, and we haven't yet set up the Hermes Luke beef. Like that hasn't happened yet in the show, so we need to set it up. And if Annabeth's going to be the one that set it up, she's quite willing to tell us extra information, I guess. Because I think in the books, we just kind of get that we know that Luke doesn't like him, but we don't really know why until late. It's like it's a bit slow burny. They just upfront it a bit, and that's fine. But the only way that this changes in the book, in the show, is if suddenly Sally can see in the future. If Sally can see in the future, they have changed the law. If not, Annabeth hasn't got a complete data set yet. As such, doesn't know that not all clear-sighted people can see into the future. So, like, yeah, like I said, when Rachel arrives, what may happen is that the fact that apparently all clear-sighted can see in the future, it might hide the fact that Rachel becomes the Oracle, but at the same time, if they make Sally see into the future, it is a change to the law, I think. And I think that's how this works currently. I think that's where we are with it. Next, episode 7, Asphodel. Asphodel, the fields of Asphodel. Trees. What trees? They changed trees. There are no people just wandering around in fields. Now they're becoming a forest. What is happening? They'll get rooted by regret. What's this? This is new. This is different. This is different lore. This is a different way for people to thing. Like, we're in a different place. We're in a medium place, but it's not the same medium place. It's a different medium place. It's a place still where people kind of, in the books, it's just a field. It's just a field, isn't it? It's just a field, and people just kind of wander around because it's what they did in life. They just coasted. They just existed. They just were. And now they are, now they're getting rooted by regret, and they're becoming a forest. It was like there's a forest on the edge of the field, and there's still the people that wander around, but if you come into the forest, you get rooted by regret. What's happening? What's different? What's changing? What's this? It's there. The reason the change exists is because it's supposed to be setting up some kind of character thing. I don't know what this is. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I can't see what they're trying to state with Annabeth. Like, what's the point of Annabeth getting rooted character-wise? I've heard theories that they wanted to get rid of Annabeth so they can have a more of a Percy Grover solo. But why? You know? Why? But why character-wise? What is her what is her character? Like, what is her regret character-wise? It's not set up. It's not paid off. I can't see it unless it's something to do with Frederick Chase and, like, but, like, it's, like, I don't know. It's hard to see. you know? And but at the same time, we're talking about the land of the dead here. This is it. We go there once. This is it. This is the land of the dead. As long as it's consistent. And the likelihood of us getting Who is ridiculous anyway. Like, people are like, oh, let's do Who afterwards. It's not going to happen, guys. Like, calm down. Like, max is, it's going to be like three films. If it happens at all. But it's going to have to get like ridiculously, it's going to have to get like huge, huge, you know? And but we may have time, who knows? But it's going to have to have huge, huge of us to get Who. So just don't get your hopes up with Who. Who isn't going to happen. And to be honest, the Fields of Afdel are only important again when Who happens. So who cares? It's the Land of the Dead. It's still the Land of the Dead. It's a different way to represent the Land of the Dead and like how bland that middle section is. I'm kind of disappointed we didn't get to see glimpses of the other two sections, like the Fiery Pit and like the Nice Place. But at the same time, I don't think it makes much of a difference. And yes, it is technically a law change, and we will be going forward as that is show law only. It is not additive law, it is just different law. Unlike the episode 3 stuff where we're going to plonk it on top, in this one we're just going to shove it to the side and go, this is different. And it's not like the other two either. Well, the other two are just kind of changes, but they're not wrong. This one's just different. It is fully different, and we'll shove it to the side when we talk about book stuff, but if we ever talk about show-specific stuff, we'll plonk that back on top afterwards. Yeah? Agreed? Cool. High five. Move on. Okay. Whew. One more. One more to go, guys. One more. And then this absolute... just... I don't know what I mean on today. So, yeah. The final thing, episode 8. So, technically, this isn't a change from the books. But at the same time, I didn't... whenever I've read these books, I have never registered this fact. Not once. Never once have I registered this fact. If you don't know what I'm on about with this, it is Backbiter Portals. Backbiter creating the portals. The portals of the Backbiter. What is that going on here with the portals of the Backbiter, my dear friend? With the portals of the Backbiter. In the book. So in the book, we get this one line. Like, this is it. I read the section. This is the one line we get. He slashed his sword in an arc and disappeared in a ripple of darkness. It's not what happens in the show. What happens in the show is we explicit line saying it creates portals, it can get us out of here. Then we see him slash a capital H, and just it, a doorway appears and flies through it. Why? I don't understand why they've done this. Because as I've said, I've ignored this line before. I have never properly registered it. I think when I read this, he slashes his sword in an arc and disappears into a ripple of darkness. I don't know, maybe he like just goes, schwa, like swings it down and then just walks away as like Percy's like slowly like bleh, on the floor, you know? But nah, definitely doorway. Now, I think this, if they never revisit this again or explain this again, I think this has implications further down the line. And if they just do it now and they never revisit it again, I think they're just got some proper like nyanyanya fans or nyanyanya people are going to be like, nyanyanya, why didn't Luke just use Backbiter to create a portal to get into camp? Why does he have to find the labyrinth? Because it's the bottle. It's bottle. Bottle is where this happens. Bottle is where it all goes down. I in my head, I thought that in Bottle, we went, this is how Luke escaped. Luke used the labyrinth as well. Like, Luke didn't use the normal way out. Either he just trekked through the forest and got out, or he used the labyrinth and got out. Obviously it's where Nico vanishes, and we know that Luke was snooping around. We get that in the books. I think my brain just may have made connections and, like, didn't what happened at all. And I, maybe originally when I read it, he just used to walk, well, like walk through the forest out, like not go through the main part of camp, walk through the forest. Because we do know there's a back way into the forest now. And I think it changes the bottle, because if the thing can make a doorway, why do they need to get through the labyrinth to get there? I think when we hit bottle, I think for now it's fine. When we hit bottle, we need some sort of talk or discussion about why they can't use backbiter portals to get into camp. Maybe it can only take one person through it at a time. And, or like it's open, and then as soon as one person connects with it, like, I don't know, just there needs to be a logical reason, and they need to express it, why they can't use backbiter portals to get to the camp, and they have to go through the labyrinth. Because otherwise, I think it massively changes implications for Bottle. Because otherwise, they don't need to go to labyrinth. I didn't even know there was a, like, backbiter portals in the first place. As I said, this is my brain never registered this as backbiter portals. And, like, what I thought would be cool, I thought maybe, when I was rewatching, I went, maybe, does he slash into, like, a delta? No, it's a H. It's a capital H. Like, it's just a brrr, and, like, you go brrr through the portal. So I don't really know what happens or what's going to happen. In my head, this is just new lore. And I don't know what to do about it. It's just new. This is new. It's not like the Fields of Astor where they change something. This is just new lore. I'm going to pretend forever that the books don't have that one line and it got retconned later. Because, like, when he got the... When he poisoned Thalia's tree, did he do that at the end of... Because it's almost dying. When did he poisoned it after he left. He came back and poisoned it. I thought he just snuck up to the border one day and went... You know, I just thought he did a little border sneak. Like, that would be easy enough. They don't patrol the border. That's what I thought happened. He just did a border sneak at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning or something. Oh, that's... I don't know what to think about that one. That one throws me, as you can probably tell by how I am thinking through this. Yeah. Anywho. That was the show. That is the show. That's the last... Because that's the last episode of the show, episode 8. That's it. That's the end of the show. If you had a good time with me today, make sure you know... I don't know. I've got a whole outro for this. I don't know why I'm doing it now. I'll see you guys in the outro. Thank you for indulging this theory. If you have any comments on this theory or theories of your own that you want me to discuss, email them through to through.t.mist@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Instagram @through_mist and send messages over there. Make sure to follow the podcast, like the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, do whatever you have to do to help get the podcast out there. I've been Owen, and come back next time if you try to see through the mist.